Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Herbert, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Oh, it's so good, dude. Are we rolling?
I almost don't believe it.
Yeah, we're rolling on everything. Right.
I'm well, okay, we're rolling.
Well, yeah,
okay.
But I mean,
always record. Always in the red.
I was going to say it into the mic.
Charlie Drayton is one of the great rock and roll drummers that is still rocking.
Who's
certainly living. Charlie Drayton.
Okay.
Just look him up. I mean, he's played with everybody.
Okay.
And I was lucky enough. Probably not as rock and roll, a little on the pop side for Charlie, but he's a drummer that's like he's a musician.
Yeah.
Like when he plays, it's like he's like playing an orchestra or like a more of an instrument. The
gotcha.
Drums are an instrument, but there's music to how he plays.
Yeah.
And when you're that good, you know, you kind of, you know, he has, you know, legitimate swagger.
And, it's not forced.
And he went in there, my buddy Emmanuel Kiriakou, who's I've worked with over the years.
Uber amazing, talented.
Amazing producer.
Yeah.
And so he introduced me. And so he was in there and he was recording and we're getting Charlie to play on some songs and like he went in there and he was jamming and like he's like, okay. And like the engineer was like, we just started. He's like, you weren't recording, you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
I mean, granted, he was way off. I mean, it was literally the first time he went through it,
oh.
But always in the red.
Always
in the red. You don't want to lose that. Hey.
Do it into the mic.
Yeah. Ooh. Liquid death. So they got me hook, line, and sinker with this because I can't believe, I think it's genius.
Yeah.
I love a little irony.
Yeah.
It looks like those crazy sugar-filled,
yeah, it looks like, know, a monster.
Caffeine,
yeah,
yes,
energy,
yeah, which I would never touch because I would. Yeah, I have coffee in the morning, but after that, I'm.
Have you ever had an energy drink pre-show?
Something
no, just to get the juices going.
No.
God, what would Joe look like on two Four Locos before a show?
Sniveling, babbling.
Just coming
yeah.
out, just pelvic thrusting
yeah.
to a slow ballad.
Yeah, and a puddle of piss. Yeah, yeah. I'd be a mess. This is sparkling water.
Yeah.
For those at home, liquid death. It looks like that, but it's, I'm still looking, I don't believe you guys, because it has to have caffeine, but I love it. You say it's great.
Well, let's get the first sip
yeah.
on air.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Joey McIntyre with his first sip of liquid death here on the About Last Night podcast. Mm-hmm. November 9th, 2022. Verdict? Describe the way your mouth feels.
Well,
that's the second time I've said that to a grown man today.
It's smooth. You know, I like my carbonation a little on the heavy.
Like you like your balls.
Heavily,
smooth.
Heavily carbonated. This, it's hard to give an honest, because you're looking at liquid death.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're trying to, you know, do a water, you know.
That's a powerful tea. Pairing of words, liquid death. You know what I'm saying?
Could be sparklier, I agree.
Brian,
it's
coming
got,
with the hot
it's
take.
Got like, it's got like a couple of things going on at the same time that aren't sort of like together.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's like Lennon and McCartney, you know what I mean? It's a little bit of like, you know, it's the... It's the grit and the pop at the same time.
You're a big Beatles guy.
No, I love the Beatles, okay, and I adore them, but I'm not like, oh, hey, man, that middle eight on the, you know, Abbey Road on the, you know, like, who, I'm not.
Do you have a group like that that you are that way with? Did that make sense?
No.
It sounded better in my head.
No, I am not like a band guy.
Right.
I'm a song guy. I'm like,
that's
like
a true
on the
artist.
Way here, on the way here, but I'm, you know, I'm loving that the 80s continued to be celebrated. They are, there's like, it's, it, you thought it was taking a break and like the kids from the 90s were having their moment. And then it just feels like, maybe it's me, but then it feels like, nah.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
That was fine. But like, I just listened to, which I never knew it was ELO, but like, Don't Ooh. Bring Me Down.
Oh yeah.
If you want a banger.
Yeah.
If you want a banger, just go there.
Well, first ask, get consent.
Just go.
Sorry, dude. I'm just.
Gurr. Banger.
Yeah. If you want a song that's going to start the day off right.
Start the day off.
Close the night
you
out.
You want to leave. Yes. No, yeah. I don't know about a closer, but okay, like certainly an evening night opener.
Yeah.
Put that bad boy on. Ga-ga-ga. And it's just slamming, but it's so poppy at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, oh. Yeah, exactly.
Da, 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 da. Yeah, and it's so. Do you like big, full songs like that?
Yes, but it's very specific. I just didn't until. I mean, shout out to K Earth 101. We're in LA. I have to say,
Come on, you know,
it's right up my alley. I'm digging it, and they play the whole song. Mm-hmm. They play the whole song. If it's 4.5 minutes,
none of that
they're
strip
playing
club
the damn
DJ
thing.
Shit, where you're like, you get 90
well,
seconds
everywhere.
Of a 7 minute tune.
Exactly.
Was there a station out here that really? Because you lived out here.
Changed my life? No.
The coast? No. Delilah.
Who's the guy? Yeah.
Has anyone ever... I'm sure there's been. I love those dedication late night programs, and I think Delilah's the syndicated popular one that
right.
most can,
sure.
can respect and be familiar with. But has there ever been, or have you heard? And I'm sure there has been, even if you don't know. Because, you know, people call in, and she'll be like, hello, who's this?
Yeah.
This is Louis calling from Rancho Cucamonga. And she's
yeah.
like,
yeah.
Louis, and who would you like to send a song out tonight? To my my side piece, Lorraine. She's lived with me for 2 months, but I think she's gonna leave, and I don't want her to leave. Okay, and what's the song you want to play for Lorraine? This guy Joey McIntyre, New Kids on the Block, has a song called "Please Don't Go, Girl." You know what I'm saying? That's probably because of the weight and the sentimental value. The what's the word I'm looking for? The emotion that that song exudes and still does, it feels to me like a song that's been dedicated to people countless times.
I would think it's good. Yeah, it's teed up. It's
right.
It's,
you'd put it there.
I would think so.
Good.
Sure.
I'm glad you feel that way.
I've never caught one. I've never caught a dedication, but yeah, no. I just did. I just lived it. I'm good.
Let me before we get into some real goofy
some important
shit,
stuff.
Yeah, I want to ask since we're here though, because I just saw you at Fenway for the first concert back since, I think since COVID, right? With the whole band together? No, you've maybe
sure.
done a couple.
No, since COVID? No.
No. Fenway was the first all band back together.
Yeah.
Man, that was crazy. And
yeah, was
I was
nuts.
So, I love going, go ahead.
We made like $5 that show because we put it all into the show. That was an amazing show.
You ain't kidding, man. You guys went, I mean, the shows are always such a spectacle. But
as it should be. Not that it's about making money. I'm just saying we put a party on. We always put a party on.
You guys went
like,
for it.
That was, you know.
Because why? First show back?
We practically had a marching band. I mean, in the beginning, that opening number was crazy. Anyway, sorry.
We'll show a clip of it from, I'm sure there's videos on YouTube. Yeah. Yeah, you guys had so much energy. I love being at events when it's like, you know, let me relate it to sports. Let's say, well, like Brady coming back to Foxborough. You'd want to be at that game
for
the first
time. Oh, I thought you
were
going to mention when I was on the 20-yard line and the interception and Butler intercepted.
You want to talk
Seattle.
About my parents' divorce after that? Is this a hey? Welcome back to Joey Replays.
When we
awful
your,
moments
when we
in Adam
your
Ray's
Seahawks,
life.
Seahawks and I happened to be kind of like right there.
We did text. I do appreciate that we texted, and I think I wish I could go back and pull it up. I believe it went something like this: Joe's Patriots were, I mean, inevitably going to lose. You were there with your son, Griff.
And you were like, shock again. Another crazy, wild. We had the helmet catch, and then
Jermaine Kearse bobbling. I mean, there's no way you should have caught that.
Six times, and So, yeah.
And then I think I texted you like, so sorry. Like something real condescending, something that almost set up the karma that was coming my way. And then not even 5 minutes later, you just texted back like, wow.
That whole game. I mean, not that we wanted to go there. But
yeah. So my point
it's
is,
been done before, but
Brady, and thanks for bringing it up, and I'll cry later tonight and probably cut this part out of the pod. Joe, if Brady comes back to Foxborough, that's a big moment for Pat Nation.
Sure.
So you guys, you know, coming back to do a first show together since there's live events were put on hold is like, I love to be in the arena, the stadium, whatever, because that energy to me is so, like Oprah's last show, that was probably a fun fucking day or night. You know what I'm saying? The energy. I love to be around things where you're like, this, you're only going to get this once.
Yeah.
Truly.
Right.
One show back from a pandemic, the first time in where the group started.
Yeah.
Give me a break, dude. That's bonkers. And it was
Fenway Park,
in Fenway Park. And from the get-go, my sister and I walk in and it was just like, it's almost like when you walk into like a stand-up show, like Late Show Saturday, you can feel the energy in the room. You're like, people are ready to go, man.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun. Like,
oh, that's
you know,
awesome.
I could feel that from the get-go. And all your shows have this, but this one was extra special, dude, where people were like, and I saw people like reunite, hugging people that maybe hadn't seen each other in a year plus, and they're reuniting at the concert.
Yeah. Well, our fans are like a family too now, so it's just like, yeah, I can only imagine how it was.
Can you take me through a little bit of the backstage part of that?
You know, a lot of work.
Yeah.
It had been a while. We did, you know, as much work as, you know, it would take to kick off a whole tour. And we did that just for one show.
Right.
So, I mean, what I do see when I see pictures and video, I'm like, it's a completely different experience.
Yes.
You're up there and you're seeing nothing except the amazing crowd, but like, you're not getting the show.
No.
Which sounds like, well, yeah, that's, when you're a performer, that's how it always is. But for some reason, it was just the difference was so great that night, because it's Fenway Park, because it's 2 years, you know, that we haven't been together, because of the fireworks and the show and the dancers and the thing and the, you know, one thing after another. It was, and then I saw the pictures and I saw the video and I was like, wow, what an amazing
night. We gave it to him.
Yeah.
And then Griff came out and sang with you, which was extra cool.
Yeah.
He's been doing that for how long, your son Griffin?
My son he started probably when he was three. He would come out and he would, at the beginning of Tonight, you know, our song Tonight starts off with, remember when we said go, please don't go. So he would come up and he would be, you know, because when he was like 2 years old, he was watching Singing in the Rain and doing Gene Kelly's dance. Like, he would put the suit jacket on and the whole thing, and he would be dancing around the living room.
Get out of here.
Mimicking. Yeah, and he was just, you know, he also, you know, wanted to be a Major League Soccer player and a baseball player when he was 3 years old as well. So it was very well-balanced, but he was into it. So we brought him up when he was on the road with us, and he would be shy. A lot of the times he'd be shy. And the problem is he'd be fine. But when he would, I'd say, hey, Griff, how you doing? And he'd be like, what's up? And the whole crowd would go, oh.
Come on.
Which is a sad sound. For a three-year-old, he's like, why is everyone sad? And then the tears would come up in his eyes, well up in his eyes. And I'd feel like a horrible parent.
Yeah.
What am I doing? You know,
that's
but
amazing.
He would do it more and more and more as he got older. And now finally, you know, he's a musician, an amazing musician in his own right. And
plays the keys.
If I could play, like, you know, even like a fraction of, you know, he's legit, man. So to have that gift. And so this time, like, he played a full song and it was at Fenway Park, and he did
his favorite team's park, which is also.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we played. You know, we were doing like, we didn't do batting practice, but I was throwing grounders to him on the infield, you know, before a sound check in Fenway Park.
I had that same experience with the Foo Fighters. Because I have a friend who's Grohl's cousin, so we're at Fenway taking pitches because I'm obsessed with Red Sox. Yeah. We're taking pitches.
Where are you from?
I'm from Maine.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Signed Pesky Pole.
Oh, amazing.
Signed back the Green
That's
Monster.
That's amazing, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
When was that?
Like 2 years ago, right before the pandemic.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Signed Pesky Pole. Hey, guys. Adam Ray here. Just got back from Vegas where I thought about putting all my money on red and calling it quits on the year. Because you know what? Sometimes shit gets tough. You struggle. You're challenged. And you need somebody to talk to. And meeting with a therapist to work on your mental health is just as helpful as hiring a personal trainer to work on your physical health. Talkspace makes it possible for you to speak with a licensed therapist right from your phone, tablet, or computer. And unlike traditional therapy, you can message your therapist anytime via text, video, or voice. It's 100% secure and stigma-free, the way therapy should be. You know, meeting with a therapist should be as ordinary and judgment-free as going to the dentist or getting your asshole cleaned. And look, I love that Talkspace makes it easy for everyone to connect with a therapist privately and lets you message them whenever you need to. It's all the benefits of therapy without the hassle of setting up appointments and waiting a week or more in between the conversation. If you've ever wondered about therapy but you aren't sure where to start, I'm telling you, Talkspace is the place to do it. The app puts you in a private room with just you and your therapist. No one else around. You can send messages 24/7 and get replies throughout the day. No need to wait for a weekly appointment. Talkspace's encryption and added security features keep your conversation fully protected. Now look, whether you struggle with anxiety, depression, self-doubt, or anything else, Talkspace gives you the access to help you move forward. Everyone's got obstacles. Everyone's dealing with shit they don't want to have to deal with, and you don't win a prize for doing it alone. So don't leave your mental health to chance or the amateur advice of a well-meaning friend and family. All right, talk to someone who's actually trained and can help you make lasting progress. Join Talkspace today and start moving forward with a single message. Just visit Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month when you use promo code LASTNIGHT at signup. That's $100 off at Talkspace.com, promo code LASTNIGHT. Start living better and feeling better because you deserve it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, what about that stadium is so iconic? I mean, I've been there. The Green Monster.
Who's that? Updike, that writer Updike, says it's a little band box of a, you know, field or something like that. I forget. I should learn that poem. But I really
that
should.
That was such a real moment.
Yeah.
I just saw like 50 different poems.
Well, I forget the name of that little quote. He calls it a little band box of a of a
we can look it up, right?
You
can look
it up. Field. Yeah, Updike. I think it's John Updike.
John Updike. Yeah.
I do wish I had
Boston Red Sox poem. It's fantastic.
I do wish I had an extra compartment in my brain that just had a bunch of quotes and anecdotes ready to go.
You gotta practice them.
You do.
I'm
social gatherings.
I'm memorizing a little T.S. Eliot.
Are you really?
Yeah, my good friend Bernard White. He's a great actor. He's he's done a bunch of stuff, but on Silicon Valley, you know the guru.
Oh yeah,
that helps him out.
Oh yeah,
So that's Fernie. So he's my buddy, and he learned. T.S. Eliot wrote the four quartets, and so he learned all four quartets, and he performs it. I don't know if I should put it on blast, but maybe
please.
He'll get mad. Every Sunday, if someone asks him to do it, he'll do it. Every Sunday, at 6:30, at Griffith Park. Sunday morning, so as the birds are coming up, as the sun's coming up.
No way.
It's epic. And it's changed every... When I saw it was a couple of months ago. He said he used to do all these things. He's like, it's completely different now. And he's brilliant, and he's funny, and he's very sarcastic. So, you know, have your guns loaded when you're talking to him, right? But, he memorized the whole thing. So I said... You know, me, the performer in me that doesn't want to work that hard, I said, well, if it was four, what if you had four guys or four people?
Right.
And, oh, good, learn it, whatever. And he said, learn the second one. Come and learn the second one. So I started the second one. And it's a good piece, you know? But my dad used to say that. Learn, you know, a lot of politicians, Tip O'Neill, who was the Speaker of the House forever in D.C., he's a Boston guy, and he had, like, one of his books he wrote. He said, learn, you know, some quotes, a little Shakespeare, something that you can have and use.
Yes.
And my dad would do that, but it, you know, what I'm getting at, it doesn't happen magically.
No.
You gotta practice.
There's also some people that just have that innate ability to just remember and soak up that stuff like a sponge.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, not to Bernard is your friend.
Yes.
Every Sunday morning performs this in the park.
Yeah.
Not to, you know, compete or one up, but
what
I
do you
feel
do?
Like I'd like to plug my own stuff. Every Tuesday night from 9 to 9:30 at Pan Pacifica Park, I perform the last speech from Any Given Sunday by Al Pacino. So it's a real quick 30 minutes, 27, you know, if we're really, you know, crunching numbers.
But yeah.
It's just me. Screaming, you know, Tuesday? I came in inches. You're going to fight for your brother. You know.
You still working on it?
Sorry, I don't know anything. Was it that obvious that I don't know any of the speech?
You're still working on it.
Now we're on the subject.
You had your head all the way up it.
Ooh.
No, that's
Is
that's
that from a different movie?
Speech. Yeah. What is that from?
Is that's from Son of a Woman?
No, that's
Give me the gun, Charlie.
No, that's from the one with Sean Penn. Oh, Carlito? No, that's not
Carlito's Way.
No. Is that it? No, he wasn't doing that.
By the way, John Updike called it a lyric little bandbox of a ballpark.
Thank you.
Ooh.
A lyric little bandbox of a ballpark.
That's amazing. Worth finding.
What is that piece called?
It is called...
I think it's about Ted Williams' Last at Bat, isn't it?
It is. It was a report. It's not even a poem. It's
it's an article.
Yeah, called Hub Fans Bid Kid Adieu.
There you go. Hub Fans Bid Kid Adieu.
I don't know what either of those two sentences mean.
The Hub is Hub. Boston. That's a nickname from Boston, right? And the Kid, they used to call Ted Williams the Kid.
Yeah.
They called Ken Griffey Jr. the Kid too.
Well, because of his dad mostly, right? Because he was the kid of the dad. But
you're
the
good.
First kid was Ted.
You're good.
Yeah.
What is that from? You're good.
You're good. No, you're good. A little bit.
A little bit.
Anyways.
Did you have?
No.
Next question. The question was going to be for the listeners: did you have meatballs for breakfast as a kid? I knew the answer was no. So I took my sister on a Boston tour when we were out there, okay? Because we had 3 days.
Did you go
there.
On the duck tours? No. Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, and let me tell you how fucking great it was.
I'm so glad it was filmed. I want you to slow down. That reaction was like, it was five different positions of your eyebrow, but it was like.
Yeah, I did.
Yes.
Well, look, when you have 3 days in a city for someone that's never been there, you go, all right.
You go duck.
Am I?
You go duck.
Do you work there? They have one in Seattle, too. It is a great way to just get a 2-hour, I think actually 90 minutes. You get a lot covered. And I was trying to plan my own itinerary for my sis, and I was like, we're gonna be done by like an hour. Like, we're going to go somewhere. I'm not going to know what to do or show her.
Yeah.
Like, isn't it funny that you just go, oh, I'm hosting you in a city that I also don't live in, but I've been in a handful of times for shows and shoots or whatever.
Yeah.
But I still don't know. If we were to go to a park, I'd be just as dumbfounded as her. And I'd be staying there and be like, this is the great Boston, Harvard, fuck. Do you know? Can you Google what this is? So, you know what I'm saying? So I go, the duck tour, these guys have it all laid out. And this we had an ex-actor, like comedian, kind of, and this guy crushed it. He looked like Jeff
He's
Bridges.
He's retired?
Well, not from the duck tour.
He's a retired
I think
actor?
From the business, yeah.
Ex.
Yes.
Ex-actor.
Which is even cooler, because he's got the little bit
Wait
of,
a minute.
Little bitterness
That's
to him.
That's gold.
A little bitterness to him.
Not ex-factor, ex-actor. Okay, we'll work on that later. Stay tuned.
Hello, Hollywood. I've got a guy on the
phone.
They heard. Have you heard of Joe McIntyre? That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Ex-actor.
Ex-actor.
So this guy was hilarious.
This guy was hilarious. He looked like Jeff Bridges from Lebowski.
Okay.
He made jokes that were over kids' heads. Mm. This one kid was really lippy in the front and kept trying to speak up and say, that's that. Mm. And the guy had a brilliant way of telling him to shut the fuck up, but in a very fun adult way that was like throwing shade at the kid that the kid wouldn't get. It was almost like the kid watching an adult cartoon and doesn't get the humor.
Sure.
So everyone on the bus, I'm dying. And this guy is winking at me and I'm just like,
oh, like, but he's still including the kid and being nice, but he's also like, yeah, yeah, and he's like, and then at one point he was just like, do you want to take the mic and come up here? Because I would love a day off. I haven't had a day off in a long time. Oh. Well, you asked my wife, well, my ex-wife, and then he would go, he's crushing it. Dude. Anyway, we got to see a lot. Is there something quintessential Boston when you were back there, like you had a couple days, that you were like, I'm going to make sure to hit this restaurant or this shop or this spot? I know you like to meditate pre-show. Is there a spot you have out there?
Well, I grew up right in Boston in a town called Jamaica Plain. And, you know, like most cities, it's this urban explosion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Growing up, it was a very working class town. Every house needed a paint job, you know, the whole thing. Now it's like you can't get in there. Mm-hmm. There are a million plus paint jobs. It looks like the Truman Show. It's like amazing.
Wow.
There. But there's a lot of parks. They had what they call the Emerald Necklace. Olmsted is the guy who designed it. So it was the same guy who did Central Park in New York. So he did the public gardens. And then all through Boston, they have, you know, walkways and all that stuff. So part of that is Jamaica Pond. So it's a beautiful spot that was right down the street from my house. So Jamaica Pond is a great spot. But I always say, you know, the North End is, if you got nowhere else to go, go to the North End because it's the last Little Italy in America, pretty much. And it's so historic to boot. You know what I mean? Paul Revere's house is there, the North Shore Church, you know, on and on and on. And it's wonderful. And there's 1,000 restaurants and everybody's got their own.
Yes.
Because, oh no, go to Frankie at Saraceno. He's going to take care of you. And he does. But then somebody else, you know, has a guy that, you know, they can't go anywhere else.
Luciana has the best stracciatella and there's the fucking gelato. Yeah.
And to the point where, like, there's
Pinocchio's,
What's that?
Pinocchio's pizza. That's mine.
See, there you go. Yeah. Boom, there you go. And it doesn't, after a while, it doesn't even matter if it's good or not. You're going to go to that place.
For nostalgia.
But overall, it's amazing.
Yeah. That's how I treat Dairy Queen at this point.
Right.
It's all nostalgia. You think that Blizzard, well, let me meet myself halfway. I'll do just about anything for a Blizzard. Klondike Bar was ahead of the game with what would you do for a Klondike Bar?
Yeah.
But let's be honest, they were, it's like, well, you know, I'd do a fair amount. I don't think sexually very much.
No.
For a Blizzard? Yeah, just about anything.
Anything.
Have you had an Oreo?
Okay, you mix it in with,
A Klondike bar was like just an ice cream bar, I think.
Right.
Or was it peppermint too?
Right. But they were so big back then, you know what
they
I mean?
They
were very substantial.
Yeah.
You know, they had a nice, you know, tinfoil wrapper. You know, all we had
there
before that was the ice cream sandwich, you know, wrapped in paper, which still, what tops that? On a summer day,
just a nice
rectangle. And cold, bing, bang, boom, you break it off.
Do you want a mini one or you like a full size?
The thing is, you always want another one, but you never really do.
Yeah.
Because it's that good.
Do you break it in half?
You know.
Real quick, let me just, quick tangent. A buddy of mine once, I saw him break a banana in half. And I go, why'd you break it in half? Verbatim, he goes, because if I eat it full, it makes me feel like I'm sucking a dick.
Right.
And to which I said, so you break the dick in half and eat it in two pieces? He didn't laugh. We haven't talked in a while. Right. Do you break the ice cream?
I mean, who does that? Who breaks the dick in half? No one does that.
Maybe Sean Connery. But I think there's something to be said about the way that certain places bring out the, like let's just say you being back in L.A.
Yeah.
Halloween. You've always participated.
Yeah.
I saw you had some, I don't know if it was at your house. Where was that? You had like, you were at some haunted mansion or there was some.
Oh God,
you put some videos of it.
Well, I think they must be, you know, set designers or something. But yeah, it's over in Hancock Park. And, you know, weeks before Halloween, there's like dozens of life-sized, realistic zombies.
Yeah.
You know, in the front yard and on top of the roof.
Whoa.
And it's crazy, but I don't remember. I think this is the first year that you just kind of walk in. There's a big circular sort of like walkway in front of the house. That burp was brought to you by Liquid Death. Straight from the Alps.
There's some fans that would pay top dollar for that burp.
Is that like can my burp be
an NFT
or
something?
Yeah. Can I have my NFT moment? Did you have to jump in there? I wanted to have my NFT moment, And you jump all over it.
I might have just diluted the value.
Jeez Louise. Just mute him on
that. Oh, Bitcoin Joe over here.
Mute. Yeah, right? Oh, people are crazy about that stuff.
I've got no...
I still don't know. I actually had the first conversation with someone that sort of described to me what it is. Because you can talk to... You talk to 100 people, 95 of them... Once you ask like three questions about Bitcoin, they have three questions. And then after three questions, they don't know what the hell it is. Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They don't know either.
I think it's brilliant people got together and said, well, wait a minute. We'll have our own currency. Mm. And we're so smart. People will follow it. But now it's a story. It's all a story.
Yeah.
It's all a story. I mean, our whole existence is based on a story.
Yeah.
This has value. Okay. Does everyone agree? Oh, only a certain amount? All right. Well, that'd be that much. Right?
Dude, you should teach history.
There you go. Oh. Economics and history. So anyways, but I mean, and then there's guys mining. I said, but mining? So you could put 200 people in a room on computers,
yeah,
and you mine. You mine what?
Minecraft? Are you playing Minecraft? I don't know.
You mine what?
Yeah, I don't know, dude.
What do you mine?
These people are mining. They're mining. They're not even below ground.
What are you mining? What are you mining?
You're not even wearing a hard hat.
Like what? But they're mining, and it's... I feel like Trump right now. Yeah, I don't know why. I'm very...
They're all in one room together.
They're mining. They're mining these people. They're the best miners.
They mine.
It's going to be huge.
He loves miners.
My miners.
I love miners.
Let me tell you, if we had more miners, we'd be happier. It would be a better country. We'd go deeper down into the earth if we had miners, but everybody wants to close them up.
I used to go to so many Victoria's Secret runway shows, and the miners there were just tremendous.
The best miners. Let me tell you, and there were some holes to fill for the miners.
Oh, man.
We mine.
Did you see any Trump costumes? What did you go as?
No, I think we need a break.
Yeah.
Okay.
What'd you go as? You seem like a festive
guy. My wife and I finished a lot of home renovations, so we went as construction.
I love that.
People, yeah.
So topical.
My wife looked really hot and
awesome.
As a construction worker, and I...
It just looked like a construction worker.
I it wasn't too cold that night, so I had like a muscle shirt on, and I had
there
the thing on,
yep.
So...
You're doing it.
I was, you know...
Giving her something to look at.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I it wasn't my intention,
These things just happen.
Well,
man.
The funny thing, I was having. It was Halloween could be a temperature rising day for a dad.
Totally.
You know what I mean? So I felt like I needed to cool off a little bit.
I love that.
Yeah. So, yeah. But the haunted house kind of lap was scary enough.
I was gonna say,
kids were crying.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you a scared person in general of that type of stuff? I guess what scares you? Not to get all Katie Couric on you.
But first,
here's Matt with the... Yeah. Oh, he's not here anymore?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go to Al with the...
Locks on doors. Locks under desk doors scare me.
Wow.
What scares me? You know, I mean, the fright scare kind of thing?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Can you be scared in a haunted mansion? Can someone get Joey McIntyre to freak out?
It's really what scares me, and my wife knows by now. I need to be alerted. I would say don't creep up on me, but she's not creeping up on me. You know what I mean? But if like I'm in the kitchen and she just all of a sudden appears
quietly,
I can get really angry. Like I'm mad. When I don't get scared, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, what the? You know
me
what I mean?
Too.
Yeah.
Hip toss.
Yeah. So I remember one time I felt so bad, but my dad, I was on the phone. I was like 8 years old. And
oh God.
You'll know why I still remember this. It was probably 6 or 7 at night. It had just gotten dark, you know, in the house, and like you haven't put the lights on yet, but all of a sudden it's dark and you gotta put the lights on. So it was like there,
okay.
You know, and I'm Remember the old phone, when you had phones, you had like a little chair and like a table and you put the phone down, one of those, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I was sitting there and I was on the phone and I don't know, I was, you know, calling one of my three friends, you know. And
it's a lot for eight.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a lot.
And they were real. I had six invisible.
And, you know, you get the round, that kind of thing. So out of nowhere, my dad comes around the bend. He sees me and he scares me. And I was so scared and angry that I was like, scared, hold, 1 second, like 1,000 to 1,000. I took the phone and I whacked him like in the jaw.
Oh.
Yeah.
Worst spot to take a phone.
Yeah, it was like, and it was way too late. Yeah. Yeah, oh, totally. And it was one of those old phones that are heavy.
Oh,
and dude. I was just like, ah! Whack! Yeah.
What happened? Jaw just snap, crackle, pop?
You know, I'm pretty sure I caught him in the chin. You know, it was dark.
You blacked out.
And I'm the youngest of nine, so by the time I came along, like, he, you know, most of the anger and rage had, had dissipated. I'm guessing if I was a little bit older or, you know, further inside of the family, I might have got, you know, a kick in the ass or, you know, but he kind of let it slide.
That is so interesting. I always forget that, dude. One of nine.
Yeah.
So Boston.
Yeah, right?
That's so crazy.
They kept going.
I got to meet a handful of your siblings at the show.
They kept mining. They kept mining. These Irish, they're the best. The Irish Catholic, they mine, they mine, they mine. They keep mining until they get diamonds. And they got one. He's beautiful. He's blessed. He's doing great. They're still doing, apparently, they're doing very, very well.
Nice. One sister, but you had a couple sisters at the show that I met that were just like, I mean.
Having a good time.
Yeah, just so cool. So sweet. So,
McIntyres so McIntyre. Do well out in the world.
They do.
It's with their families and indoors. They don't. They're not their best. But we are people.
How much is that scene that and you got to be a part of Melissa McCarthy's family in the heat, that scene, how true.
Someone was talking to me about that lady.
Yeah, how true to actual, well, say your life, but a Boston Irish Catholic family,
it's,
is it?
You know, it is, you know what I think about in the heat? Remember when she ran into the bar and the postman, she was like, I don't know, she screamed something like that.
Yeah.
Like that's Boston, the
yeah. That's what you think.
Well, you know, yes. I mean, I was sitting around that table, and as I say, there were either, you know, big stars. You had Sandra Bullock at the end, like taking all the hits, like total, like like total pro. You know, and someone's, I spoke about the scene recently, and they said they've been on sets where the star is not going to take a hit. You can't disparage the star. You know what I mean? And here they are calling Sandra Bullock, like the character's like, are you a man?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she's just like taking it as a pro.
For the joke,
as a real person.
Yeah.
But I had, they were all at the table. You were either like an improv all-star.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and so how am I, I'm thinking, how am I going to get in here. You know what I mean? What am I going to say? What am I going to add to this? And I just kept thinking, Jane Curtin is in the scene and she's not saying anything. So I don't have to say anything. If Jane Curtin doesn't need to get in there, I'm good. I'm good. You know, I'm good for the day.
Yeah.
And but, you know, Nate Cordry was across the, you know, the table from me.
You had some good singers though. Billy Burr.
Yeah.
Had some
oh yeah. One or two. You know, I was happy with the scenes that I had in my lines.
Yes.
But that scene in particular, it was just fun to be a part of that scene. Yeah.
The Are You a Narc?
Are You a Narc? Yeah.
I think you and
Are
Nate.
Are You a
had
Narc? Yeah. Oh yeah. That was Nate.
Yeah.
That was a T-shirt.
So, when you guys got back here to LA, what is there like a first? You know,
where are you gonna go?
Yeah, where are you gonna go? Or is it like a sense of relief? Like New York was, we just talked about this the other day.
Yeah.
It was like a beautiful, fun chapter, right?
Yeah, no regrets.
No regrets.
But
back here, you spent crazy, how many years nuts. Here before when you were living and coming up, right?
Yeah.
When the band really like took its stride, you were here. the whole time, right? In L.A.?
No. I mean, we were here a lot. I mean, this section right here, I mean, this is cool. I mean, yeah. There's something about...
The Heart of Sunset.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I love about, you know, what you do in stand-up is, like, to me, it's the last bastion of real live touch and feel rock and roll. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, growing up, you know, that coming up you're talking about, yes, we did spend a lot of time here, and, you know, what the Pink Taco used to be Roxbury, you know what I mean? The Roxbury, you know? And
I'm sure you guys had billboards around.
I had a McCarthy's one later, which is nice. You know, you did it in the 80s, but like, you know, you get the CBS, I think it was right over the Next Viper the Room too.
Yeah, oh,
which is a cool one, yeah. So, but I still, you know, we all have those pictures, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in life, but definitely our Hollywood pictures when you first get here or you have those experiences. And just, I'll never forget, like, Nick Cage just coming out of the Roxbury. Like, need I say more? I was in the parking lot and I look up and Nick Cage is leaving.
Like, that's Raising all. Arizona era.
That just, yeah exactly. Just Nick Cage in his prime. I mean, Nick Cage is always kind of in his prime. No matter what.
Consistent.
But it was just, it was, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had my, you know, stories about, you know, the Comedy Store and, you know, a little bit more.
Yeah, you don't.
You know,
see,
I don't want to kiss and tell, but you know
for
that,
sure.
That more
you
in that division. But yeah, this is. We did spend a lot of time here.
Were they just letting you in places because you were under 18, right?
Yeah. Those were the good old days, man. I mean, you just, you know. Luckily, you know, I wasn't that crazy, and you know, the rest of my bandmates actually really just wanted to get laid. I mean, that was. That was what they wanted to do. They weren't into drugs. They were barely drank. They would drink sometimes.
Yeah.
So I was lucky. You know what I mean? I was also a lightweight. I was much younger than them.
Were you a wingman a lot?
Yeah, but I mean, it was.
Wing boy.
It wasn't like I didn't feel. Yeah, exactly. I didn't feel left out in that sense. Yeah, I mean, but L.A. was, you know, L.A. was always fun and magical, and you know, Sunset Strip in the 80s, you know what I mean? It was
just cool, dude.
Man, it was dope.
It's still cool, but it's not what it was, and nothing is right. Like,
right,
I don't know who said that. Can we look it up? But I think it was Pacino. But I mean, I've been here 20 years and you know, get to travel a lot, but it's like this now. I can't imagine like leaving here for a little bit and then coming back and feeling what I like.
Yeah,
you know, like I get that now with, I guess, Seattle. Everyone's probably maybe got one place, hopefully, that you spent time in, you got to leave, and then you get to go back
and see. Yeah.
Do you still get? Go ahead. Oh, I guess it's your show. Say that.
Okay. It seemed like it might have a chance to be. You know.
Who knows?
Put a pin in that one.
Okay.
I get that with Boston though. Boston downtown, the harbor, the whole thing. It's a completely different picture. And it's like Disneyland meets the Revolutionary War. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's a great fucking description.
Exactly, it's like, it holy cow, I've never seen bricks so clean in my life. Look at the cobblestones, like wet them down, you know? And it's like unbelievable.
Someone was shot there. Right. Someone was killed there.
Yeah, exactly.
The bass are coming.
Yeah, exactly. They should do Hamilton on the streets of Boston, a live.
1,000%.
Hamilton live. At the Boston
Harbor.
Live
from the cobblestone, yeah.
Starring
Nick Cage.
Bill Burr is Aaron Burr.
Everybody's got it. Yeah.
Is that Cage? That's good.
No, I just,
you
know.
That's Cage from what? Face Off?
It's
took my face and made another face.
That's my, and I should know him because he's awesome, but who's the guy from, they're all funny, but from
Shatner.
Big Bang Theory.
Oh, what's his name?
God forgive me.
I almost said Nelson Mandela. What's his name?
Right.
No, the kid. He talks like this. He's kind of the nerdy character, right?
Yeah.
Big Bang Theory.
The nerdy character in Big Bang Theory.
Hilarious. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Pick one.
But he does. He's done Cage like on the Tonight Show.
And it's good.
He's done Nick Cage doing the alphabet, you know. A, Eric B, Kaplan, C, D.
Bill Pardy, Leo Aronson.
Parsons. It's something Parsons.
No,
right?
No, that's the
Bill
lead.
Prady?
No.
Leo Aronson, Stephen Molero.
You're reading like producers and like.
Oh, am I?
Show
I don't even know. Yeah. I've never seen the show.
Oh.
I don't even know.
Yikes, you're fired, dude.
I'm the worst.
The one requirement I have to work on this podcast is that you've seen at least three episodes.
Oh, Jim Parsons?
Yeah, there it
no,
is.
No, that's
what?
The lead.
Oh.
Oh. If there is a lead.
Are you thinking of the Roseanne kid? Kinnicky?
Kevin Sussman?
No. Not Kinnicky. David Sobenek. What is it?
Johnny Galecki?
Galecki.
No.
Simon Helberg.
We got
way.
Two more guys. Simon
Helberg?
Yeah.
Him?
Sorry, dude.
I think we can pinpoint the moment people
big...
tuned out.
I know. I'm sorry.
Please cut
hey,
this
I opened
Not
with Nelson Mandela.
right.
So, way off.
He was...
He does a great Nick Cage. I know who you're talking
great.
About now, and Simon Helberg.
Very
yeah.
smart guy and just witty. And yeah, he does a great... And we see each other a lot in the neighborhood.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
He lives in your neighborhood?
I see him in the hood.
Great Simon Helberg, right?
Yeah.
Story. He used to live in the building where my friend Jeff Niemann lived. And this was over on, I think, Stanley and Beverly, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. And he'd come over every now and then. He was just an actor walking around, like just. But I'd seen him in a couple things. One of those guys where you're just like, you just got out of college. You haven't done shit. So you see anybody that you've seen in TV or movies, like that even had a memorable part, you're like, whoa. You know what I'm saying?
You tackle them.
Yeah. You see if they want to share Liquid Death with you.
Get one. Yeah.
And I remember seeing him, and my buddy Neiman was like, yeah, he moved out. He got some show, and like he...
Wow.
And I was like, oh, cool.
And
then there we go.
$750,000 an episode later.
Here's Nick Cage. Nick Cage.
Isn't that tough? Can you imagine he didn't get a million? He only got $750,000?
I still lose sleep over it.
Yeah.
Here's Nick Cage finding out he lost out to Simon Helberg for the role of, what am I saying? Yeah, on Big Bang Theory. Ready?
Okay.
Oh.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Snap out of it. I just saw, you know what's awesome is watching movies with the commercials. They're aired. You know, if let's watch a movie. I don't know, maybe other people are good at this, especially with kids. It's just a train wreck. But when you're like, let's watch a movie, meaning let's get one on Disney Plus or let's buy one on Apple. You're there all the time. You only want to watch the ones you already watched.
Yeah.
But when you catch them on TV, and there's a bunch of those TV stations now, and they're just playing. You know, I know they would. One of them was playing The Heat forever, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
FX.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Moonstruck was on. I wouldn't watch Moonstruck, even though I loved it, and it's on. And there's a commercial. You get to get a snack. You go to the bathroom. You come back. And there it's still playing.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. I am an impulse buyer, whether I'm buying a popcorn machine for my stepdad on the internet or a Fleshlight for my 7-year-old nephew. I know most of you are probably like me and you're thinking, you know, why don't you just use incognito mode when you're searching for shit on your browser so that nobody sees your shit? Well, let me tell you, incognito mode does not hide your activity. It doesn't matter what mode you use or how many times you clear your browsing history, your internet service provider can still see every single website you've ever visited. That's why even when I'm at home and I'm trying to go on TomHanks.com, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. It doesn't matter who your internet service provider is, ISPs in the U.S. can legally sell your info to ad companies. ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so that your ISP can't see the sites you visit. ExpressVPN also keeps all of your info secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. Now, most of the time, I don't even realize I have ExpressVPN on. It's just running seamlessly in the background, and it's so fucking easy to use. All you got to do is tap one button, and you're protected. Boom. Get all the weird popcorn and Fleshlights you want. ExpressVPN is available on all your devices, phones, computers, even your smart TV, so there's no excuse for you to not be using it. Right now, if you want to protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by CNET, visit my exclusive link, expressvpn.com/ALN, and you can get 3 extra months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/ALN to get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/ALN, expressvpn.com/ALN to learn more.
Were there shows that got you through the pandemic?
Shows. What did I didn't really, I'm not really a
binger,
and yeah. I should be because, you know, I waste a lot of time thinking, I guess. I'd rather...
I scroll more than I watch.
Shuffle around and think.
Yeah. You'd rather write, huh?
So who?
Did you have time during...
Write? I'm not a big writer, except when I get, you know, inspired by a certain idea. You know what I mean? And then I...
You are someone, as long as I've known you, that has never not created, and I love that about you. And I think that's something that, we connect on a lot, yeah. is that we're always just trying to, like, not be settled with, like, cool, I did some cool stuff, and be like, that's it. It's just yeah. like, what else can I come up with it while I'm still feeling like I can, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, all your live stream shows you did during the pandemic, you popped on my live stream charity show and yeah, knocked it out of the park.
We had fun.
Crushed it. You know, came out with a, when I was down in Australia, you came out with a single, remind me the name of it. I listened to it on repeat and made a bunch of videos lip singing it. And I can't remember for life of me the fucking title of it.
The first one was Own This Town.
Own This Town.
Yeah. Own This Town.
And the music video is just classic, like.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, you know, I think my working class mentality and, you know, my dad was a good dad, but he would, you know, he'd call and he'd say, get a job. He'd say, get a job. You know, but he really, one time when I was like at the end of, you know, after New Kids and I was just having my lost weekend, he'd say, he upgraded that to go be somebody.
Holy shit.
And that pissed me off and I hung up on him. I said, I'll go be somebody. But, you know, he wanted his kid to get out there. And by the way, a job didn't mean be rich and famous. You know, if I had a job down the street, you know, digging ditches and I was happy doing it and I was engaged, like that's all he wanted, you know, for his kid. So
be the best at that, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, not the best, but just do it. Just do something. Get off your arse and you know, be a part of the life in the world.
I do dig that because that, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of people, and we've all had our bouts of like, you know, fucking like trying to just pick yourself up and get after something or finish something or start something.
Yeah.
So that's just being like, look, I can't tell you what to become, what you're going to be into, what you're going to find is a passion of yours. But if you just start, like doing, you're halfway there as far as discovering whatever that is that you're going to fall in love with, right?
And it'll lead as I know you know, as like you know, and especially in this business, it seems more clear that like, okay, let me start this project, and if it goes, great. But if not, it's probably going to lead to something else.
Yeah.
Either knowledge-wise, or I work with someone, and they ask me to do something, and on and on and on. Yeah. You know.
How did you and Debbie Gibson link up? You can take a sip. I can ask another question.
We were at the Roxbury, and she was doing shots in the corner, and I said, "You're better than this, Debbie. Let's get out of here, kid." And
you owe me $5, bro. I knew that's how they met.
We saw the sunset, and I said, "You know what? This is too big right now. Let's wait 25, 30 years." And she said, "No, you're crazy." And I said, "Trust me." And next thing you knew, we're in Vegas and sold out residency. You know,
I feel like having a residency in Vegas is like,
listen, they call anything a residency, by the way. Okay. You could do two nights and they'll call it a residency. So we did a total of 8 nights within a month, you know, but it did have that vibe.
Yeah,
it did. She was on the last New Kids mixtape tour.
Crushed it.
She's phenomenal. Yeah. Debbie's phenomenal. She's number one. She's like a very kind person, super sweet.
Which helps when you're on the road, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Whoever you guys are traveling with, you want to...
Oh, yeah, you can, you know, and there's nothing you can do for people, right? If they're having a tough time, you know, you can show up, give them a hug, but, like, you know, it's like you kind of got to watch the train wreck, you know what I mean, sometimes. Mm-hmm. We've been lucky, you know, with our opening acts and... You know, we're good at what we do. We're lucky enough to have the experience. So I think we're a good example. like Peppa from Salt and Pepper. She's like, "You got to be at the arena at the right time at a certain time." I said, "Okay." You know, like she knows. She's like, "We run a tight ship." You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, you
they
do.
Are so funny. They are so.
They're coming
funny.
On this next one too, huh?
Yeah. So in 2019, Debbie was going to be with us, and I had, you know, the temerity to ask her to share one of her number one records, Lost in Your Eyes, with me as a duet. And I said, "I'll come halfway, you know, into the second verse."
Brilliant.
It'll be a surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a feeling it would kill.
Yeah.
Ask me if it killed.
Did it kill?
It killed. So every night.
Of
She's wonderful. It's a tough song to sing. I love having the challenge to sing it. So you have that built-in workout every night to keep you honest. She's phenomenal. We connected, you know, as friends. We're about the same age. We've been through it since, you know, being young artists. So we share a lot of the same similarities.
Yeah.
We like to work. We're kind of working class mentality. We both have Broadway. We'll do some people like 8 shows a week. You're crazy. But that's we kind of thrive on that stuff. So we have a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
So during the pandemic, we toyed about re-recording that song. And I said, well, if we do it, let's do it. But let's tie it to something. Let's let it launch something else, you know? And I thought Vegas would be perfect because people were going to be getting back soon. And Vegas is like the capital of entertainment. So yes. I knew people would be going there. It was a safe bet.
Yes.
And sure enough, it was. And we re-recorded it, and it was great. Another thing to work on. And, yeah, so it's a very cool relationship, and she's good people.
Yeah, she truly is, I mean, like you guys, just – consistently delivering and feels like gets better as the days go by. Yeah. Was being in Vegas and having a run like just cool to be at a hotel for that long and be, I guess in spurts, it was like what, 3-4 days at a time in Vegas?
Yeah, oh, we did 4 and 4. And so, yeah, we were there for about a week at a time. And
they put
yeah,
you up nice.
Cool.
Did you like go down to the cafeteria the and like mix it up with the roulette guys? No, you just ordered food to the room.
I almost did. And then, you know, and then I got my groove on and yeah. I said, oh, yeah, they do have room service. I mean, those places are so big. But
come on, yeah.
No, it was nice. It was nice to kind of shut down, you know, because I was like living like a monk because you're doing these big shows every night. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you got it. You're not out partying.
Can't be.
Yeah, but it was nice to kind of, you know, just hunker down and, you know, rock it that night, but keep it real simple. And one day I drove out to Red Rock, which is beautiful.
Yeah, good call.
Another burp brought to you by Liquid Death. Sparkling water straight from the Alps.
Water designed for your mouth.
Murder your thirst.
Is that what it says?
Yes.
Fuck, that's incredible. They do have some pretty...
the copy's funny.
Insane advertisements as well.
It has the quality of like a beer.
It does. Bri, do you have that song locked and loaded?
Yeah.
There's a track.
Liquid Death song?
No, not a. My buddy Jeremy
Shockley.
My buddy Jeremy Shockley, Mr. Mobius on Instagram, sent an instrumental track for us to riff a song to at some point. And I said, well, you know, we'll feel it out when that moment arises. To anything, yeah.
Anything.
And I feel like now that, we got a second. All right. Yeah. So I'll vamp. What's your favorite color, Joey?
Green.
Oh, what's your favorite food?
Pasta carbonara.
What's your second favorite song of all time?
Don't Stop Believing.
What's a movie you could quote with the lights off?
Midnight Run.
Who's an actor you'd love to act with at some point in your life?
Matt Damon.
Who's an actor you would love to just see at the Grove and high-five them, but then the high-five turns into a hug, and then the hug turns into a friendship?
The tall dude from Succession. The younger one.
Who's the better Culkin, Kieran or Macaulay?
Macaulay. Got to go Macaulay.
Dude, yeah. Great answer,
yeah, ride
man.
Ride or die with Macaulay.
Come on.
And not just because his brother is, you know, having this lovely... comeuppance, but he needs to Macaulay needs to do more.
Macaulay needs to do a bit more.
Don't leave it on the floor. Do more. I'ma do more for you, baby.
Macaulay Culkin needs to do more.
I'ma do my phone, baby.
We haven't seen you act in a while.
What's in your throat, Adam?
A little bit of weed, a little bit of peanut butter.
I'ma do my phone, baby. All those other guys wasting your time. But I'ma tell you what I'm gonna do. with your time.
I'm choosing Macaulay over Kieran too.
I'm choosing Macaulay over Kieran too, baby.
It has nothing to do.
Because I wanna be home alone with you. Yeah. Gonna be home alone. Home alone with you, baby.
Lock the doors.
Mm-hmm.
Close the windows. Get the paint cans out.
Hey, Mac. Tell him you're back. Knock on the door. Put your hands on your cheeks and say, oh, yeah.
You got left home alone again.
You got to throw that allspice back on your face. It's time to set the record straight. I'ma be home alone with you. I'm turning into Mac and now I'm singing it from Mac's point of view.
Get everything off the menu.
My brother ain't nothing on me, baby.
Pizza and ice cream, tax on the floor.
That's
Daniel
right.
Stern and Joe Pesci are coming through the back door.
I taught him all he knows. He's on that fancy show. Mac is back.
Don't forget about Richie Rich.
Mac is back, oh yeah.
Have yourself a little liquid death.
Who the hell is Richie Rich?
That's another movie that Macaulay did after Home Alone.
Man, success. Why you trying to take this thing down? I was high on the Home Alone. Everybody knows that movie and you gotta be on your own, baby.
Ooh.
Mac is back. Knock, knock, who's there? It's me. Mm-hmm. That's right. So come on back, girl. I'ma put my Old Spice on. You're gonna taste and feel this like you never felt before.
Ooh, yeah.
You can sit down and
I'm almost 13.
We can put on some HBO and I could do a little test and see if you react to my brother's performance. And if you like it, I'ma throw your head out the window!
Ooh, this took a turn.
Joey McIntyre with Home Alone featuring... Wow, dude.
Featuring me, then slowly...
Fuck, you just got that, dude.
Has anybody turned it, the point of view, from a they to an I? No.
No?
No. I don't think so.
Wow,
from
dude.
Third person to first person? That might be like
dude,
pop history.
Pass the joint. Wow, dude. What a great song. Kieran and Macaulay. I'm going to tweet that to him.
All right. You buddies with him?
I met Macaulay once. It was cool.
Are you going to tweet it?
I wish okay. There was a better ending to that story. You ever just start a story and go, hey, man, shut up. Joe, a few more questions and we'll wrap this up.
Wow.
Thanks
okay.
for crushing
Jeez.
That, by the way. You're a true pop star. Jeez. Bri?
Yo, huge.
So Bri, his sister, obviously. Obsessed. How many times have you heard this? Bri, casual fan.
Yeah.
Sister, couldn't believe it. Mm.
Hand-me-down, slept on your face. Sheets. New Kids on the Block sheets.
You got hand-me-down sheets?
New Kids on the Block, hand-me-down sheets. That's
Let's so go. Awesome.
Slept on your face.
Let's wow. go.
Hung outside.
Why are you going to say slept on your face, man? I give you credit because you're making, yeah. you're insulting me. Like normally from that point, it's like, oh, I don't want to admit it that yeah. I slept on New Kid Sheets. Yeah. No, you're saying like you.
I fucking slept on your face.
Yeah, I went to bed. Yeah. I said, Joe,
like,
get
yeah,
on my face.
He probably yeah. jerked off for the first time.
Right around
sheets.
The rim of your pupils. Yeah,
that got on Jordan's face. Don't
wow.
worry.
Good call.
Yeah.
He was much sexier.
I could see why it
it's
would get directed
weird if
towards
it was me. Yeah.
I didn't realize you guys were nominated for a Grammy. That's fucking crazy.
When?
You and Deb. You didn't know this?
No, we're not nominated.
Was nominated?
No.
Are you sure?
You miss.
Let's go to the Gram.
No.
In today's episode of Let's Go to the Gram, Adam tries to confirm that.
No.
Bri, look it up for me. Thank you.
She presented herself.
Okay.
And said, hey, Grammy voters, you have to, like, submit.
Oh. So you've been submitted for a Grammy. Yeah.
Dude, I wouldn't be here if I was. I wouldn't be sitting here
if I was up
nominated
for a
Grammy.
What does that mean when it says "Lost in Your Eyes" nominated for the first round? Mm. It says Grammy nominations for the first round, one of which includes "Lost in Your Eyes," the duet with Joey McIntyre.
What was that today? You're laughing.
Fucking told you, dude. Wow, are you finding out firsthand right here on the About Last Night podcast?
No, because Debbie would have been all over. I would have, my phone would have been blown up.
NKOTB, but the blog, Joey McIntyre and Debbie Gibson's Lost in Your Eyes, the duet, nominated for the 64th Grammy Awards.
Well, what's the first round? What does that mean, though?
I wonder if there's like a kind of an NCAA tournament to get into the final four.
That's jive. What's it called? The block? That was on the block?
The block, NKOTB.
What did you search for that?
I searched Joey McIntyre, Debbie Gibson, Grammy nomination.
He searched Joey McIntyre, cum stained bed sheets from childhood.
This would be an amazing segue from jerking off on bed sheets to discovering I've been nominated for a Grammy.
Hey, you got to use this.
No, I mean, the first round. It might be that that doesn't dwindle it down.
Okay. Well, let's put the good juju out there. Let's put.
Yeah,
the,
no.
Let's
no.
get it out.
This was October 27th. No. This is. I don't know why. Yeah. I mean, the fans are doing their thing. They're just trying to, you know, move it along, and you know. But who knows? I wonder what the first. This is probably just jive. Debbie Gibson has written and produced a masterpiece album. Yes. I think it's awesome.
So you'll find out November 23rd if you made it to the final.
Has received four Grammy nominations for the first round.
That's
okay,
big.
So there's an asterisk. There's a little literal asterisk. Let me see
are you the Barry Bonds of Grammy nominations?
Let me see how far down the asterisk is. I'm still scrolling to see the asterisk.
I got it pulled up here. It says the first round of voting ends November 5th. You find out the final nominations on November 23rd.
Great.
But you're in the running for
that's coming up, Joe.
You're on that.
Let's go. ALN listeners, vote Debbie and Joe.
Can you do that with a Grammy?
That's more like people's choice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, say your prayers at night.
That's hilarious.
Get out your Joe voodoo doll.
That's hilarious.
I'll pull out the bed sheets one more time.
Give him a nice genie rub. Joe, we've got a couple fan questions before we rock this party into. Dude, that's three burps if you're
Liquid
playing.
Death.
If you're playing the When Will Joe Burp drinking game at home.
I feel like we could get you a sponsorship with Liquid Death.
Let's go. Burps.
You've crushed it, or at least with the Culkins. Joe, someone wants to know, any fun phrases, any replacement phrases? This is Heather Reeves St. John. She wants to know, any fun phrases to replace, profanity that we've done in our house with things like, I guess these are yours, like fallen, right? Like an angel, or funky cold Medina. That's what she says. Does this sound familiar?
Do I say that? No.
All right, let's ask another question.
I think that's from my, I did a little soapboxy stuff with the vulgarity.
Yeah. During COVID.
Yeah, but recently too. Mm. I was back at it because did you see that thing at the hockey game and the girls playing goalie?
No.
For a men's high school thing, and they're, you know, chanting horrible things.
Oof.
And I just think it's wrong, and we shouldn't be surprised at it. But listen, let it begin with me. I did give up swearing for 2021.
Wow.
Whoa, that's fucked up.
And you did it.
And it's true. But you notice?
I did notice. Especially, I've never heard a guy with a Boston accent not swear once.
You
didn't say cocksucker at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's doable. You still have fun.
Yeah.
But to each his own, I just think it all trickles down, unfortunately. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, But I'm going to sound like a, you know, like some dad in the 70s. Cut your hair and you're listening to that damn rock and roll. But, yeah, you know. So I think that's what that fan is referring to.
Gotcha.
Is there, what else can we say when we want to say, you know, F that.
Yeah.
Know? Snickerdoodles.
My mom says yikeroonies.
Yikeroonies.
Puddin'Cock says yikeroonies. That's her, like, Oklahoma way of being like, fuck that noise. Or, say what, bitch?
You know, what did I say? It's going to be really bad.
Silly Goose is a good one.
Silly Goose, like, yeah. I don't really, it's funny, you don't feel like, I don't really need a substitute.
Yeah. More on this later.
Okay.
Follow-up question. This is from NKOTB News on Instagram. They want to know, will there be any...
How does it feel to be Grammy nominated?
Are you upset that Jordan got the money shot on Brian's bed sheets and not you? No.
Wow, this is real-time questions.
We're live-streaming the pod right now. Yeah. Wow. Joe, will there be any new NKOTB music coming soon? And I'm sure that gets thrown your way daily, right? But I would think that that's a complimentary question because you're like, oh, cool, people still...
Complimentary, just like a side question? Like it's part of it?
I feel like that's
just like a buffer or just support.
A garnish.
Yeah. The garnishing.
All right. Look, guys, I'm going to be 40 in about 6 months. Have I started to recognize some slip ups in the way that I speak and think? Yeah. Is that contributed
to,
or is that fueled by, you know,
drug problems?
Whoa, marijuana is legal, baby.
Okay.
And that's all I've done.
I think there'll be new music.
Yeah, great. Okay.
Yeah, we always like to get a couple in. I don't know about a full album like right away, but a couple for the new tour.
For the new tour.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the new tour, Mixtape 2022.
Yeah, this is very
Salt
important.
And Pepper.
Salt and Pepper.
Rick,
In Vogue.
And
the one and only.
Rick Astley.
Yeah.
Dude, please tell me you're going to join him for... If there's anything you do, all I've got to do is say, because I... Satisfy everything you need.
That's the other one.
That was Together Forever, I think.
Together Forever, yeah.
Never Gonna Give You Up.
Maybe that one. Never Gonna Give You Up. Stand Back.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Watch the magic.
Yeah, it's like, he's lovely. We only met him, you know, over FaceTime for the promos and stuff. But he's just a very down-to-earth guy.
Cool.
You know, he's sort of like, you know, a favorite son from back home, and he's still doing great over there. But, like, he's so thrilled to be,
awesome,
you know, coming back to the States with something like this and, you know, being big arenas and just people are going to die. It's going to be awesome.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, you guys are really, I mean, it's a true mitzvah the way that you guys pull in these acts that are like, I mean, hey, man, you guys, like, give him the
like a little dreidel that, like, appears in the thing when he says mitzvah?
Yeah, we edited
ding, ding, ding.
We animate a giant dreidel over here.
I love it.
It's spinning.
My son's about to start his bat mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah?
Bar mitzvah, sorry. Bat is
what?
The one. Yeah, because my wife's Jewish. My first son was, like,
didn't
stick to it enough, and he was like, yeah, I'm good.
So
I'm going to go with McIntyre. I'm going to go with my very Irish... name.
I'm not going to change it to Mackenstein.
But yeah, so he's into it, which is amazing.
Fuck it, dude.
I love knowing he's going to have that. I mean, it takes a lot of work, and
it
it's
does.
Great teaching. And I miss that. I mean, that I grew up Catholic, and you know, everybody has their qualms with Catholicism, to put it lightly. but I wish, as a parent, I had that backup. Like, I don't have that backup. You know, it's something to be said when your kids have to go every Sunday and learn something, but also hear, honor your mother and father, honor your mother and father, honor your mother. You know, have that kind of, like, structure, you know, which I don't have.
Yeah.
So for him to, like, learn that.
It's exciting.
Is awesome.
Well, hey, I'm here for
are you going to be
tutors.
His Sakalamalu?
I mean, that's definitely not what it's called. But I can be a version of that, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, let's close this out strong, Joe, with a 10 question, get to know Joe Mack questionnaire. James Lipton.
So close it out 10 times.
Yeah, but with these. Okay. So James Lipton, RIP, the late great, hosted
when
Inside
did he
the
RIP?
Actor Studio.
Why don't we know about that?
I think it was about 3 years ago.
Did it happen during an interview?
I'm not going to put money on that.
Did it happen?
It happened during his interview with Pacino when he was like, whose face would you want to nut on if you were going to bed? And he goes, Jordan Knight! No.
2020.
2020. Lipton passed favorite just 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Wow.
March I felt like in 2020.
Damn, dude, that's recent.
Okay, 93.
So we learned two things. I'm nominated for Grammy.
Yep.
And James Lipton.
There it is.
Sorry. The Liquid Death. Yeah. I wish there was something.
That'd be nice. Yeah, it's a fun.
I'm getting hungry. Is that a Subway t-shirt?
Yeah. Don't
Have
go
you
to
been
Subway.
Back? Why
to
not?
To Subway? Because the bread
They're
ain't
back.
Bread. Fuck that noise,
They're
dude.
They
haven't been back since Jared came out and was like,
dude,
hey, you know how many kids
minute.
I fit in these pants? And you're like, whoa, dude, stick
Steph
to the
script. Curry and Tom Brady told me it's okay.
You got to stop listening to fucking Tom Brady
hey,
for
come
anything.
On.
The guy's going to. Do you think he comes back to the Patriots for one final season and then calls it quits? There's a documentary on Disney Plus coming out on him next weekend. I just saw that. And I thought about all the Pats fans that are just going to buy all the Lubriderm and sit down and fucking just.
So. What is that? You did, oh,
a five-part miniseries
I thought that
on
was,
their
you know
favorite man.
I confused that with the Lubriderm. Isn't that
That's
like
lotion,
the facial
baby.
Wash?
Yeah.
It's the facial.
Sometimes it's used
it
for
made,
that.
But it made its name. Did you like that because it looked more like sperm? Did you use that? Because it was like Lubriderm is like
it's
famously.
Lotion.
But it made its name as a facial wash, right?
Gotcha.
Right, and then it moved
I don't know the
into the lotion.
Origin story of Lubriderm. Don't try to say right as
getting,
if I was going to. Go, yeah, yeah.
What I'm getting at,
John
is
Lube
like,
and Ryan you Derm.
Like, you know, when you were a kid, you went into the shop. You're like, I want to jerk off a lube. That must be it.
Yeah,
that's what you did.
Yes, that's what you did.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then you, but how do? Yeah. By the way, this is a script. That
tell me, like,
Hollywood, if you're listening.
Tell me
where's
on
the Lubriderm
somehow
biopic?
On question four by now.
Okay. All right. What is so? Here we go.
James Lipton.
Here we go.
He's dead. Yep. Question two.
What is your?
I'm not nominated.
No. Number
for
one.
Brandon.
Number one. Here we go. What is your? True? What Joey McIntyre? What is your favorite word?
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
This is a real question. This is the real 10 questionnaire. He closed the shows out with. What's your favorite word?
Lubriderm. No.
What is? You could, any answer is acceptable.
Favorite word. Conjunctivitis.
Awesome.
That's a good one.
You get a lot out of it.
You do.
Yeah.
Not as much as you
either
put
that
into
or
it.
Diverticulitis,
which is a real
right?
real problem.
It's a thing.
That's a real issue for some people.
Yeah.
What is your least favorite word?
Symptom.
What turns you on?
My wife.
Great answer, Joe Mack.
My wife's brain. Hands. To get specific.
Yeah, Barrett.
My wife's hands.
You crushed it there.
No, okay.
What turns you off?
You see these things. These are the back page.
Yeah.
You know, questions. You know what I mean? It's always like. You know, what would I say?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Someone's like,
negativity.
Small people.
Yeah.
Small minds. Yeah. I was like, oh, God.
Get
yeah.
over yourself. Yeah.
What like, pisses me off?
Yeah. Like, well,
what
turns
me
it?
Off?
Same thing. I think McConaughey said.
But that
said,
is true. What?
I think McConaughey, I asked him that question. I can't remember what he said. I think he said something like.
I feel long. Suddenly I got like.
Oh, yeah. You're.
I got like the vapors for you, as they used to say.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
The vapors.
The vapes. Yeah. It's sort of like an urban term.
Okay.
Yeah. You just like, wow, that's
Ooh,
cool.
Look at
yeah.
that guy. Look at that guy in
yeah.
his fancy Subway shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. McConaughey said, well, he had these great answers. I'd be like, what turns
right.
you on? And he'd be like,
I have
you know,
his book.
When I was,
I have his book.
When
it's
I was
wild,
10,
yeah.
you know, I used to turn my cell phone just intellectually. He didn't say that, but yeah, he had these right. bigger than life answers where you're yeah. like, I didn't know how we got yeah. here, but I'm glad we got here.
You know, people that, what turns me off, I mean, it's funny, they're kind of the same thing other than my wife, but like what turns me on is when someone fesses up. I love that, man. It's like a
accountability.
Light yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, man. Just yeah. it. And what turns me off is people that just can't go, I blew it, man.
I fucked
Sorry,
up.
Sorry, man. Can we work this out? Like, wow, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Oh.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good answers.
Jeez.
What's your favorite curse word?
Spankers.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
That feels like a Boston word.
Yeah.
What sound of noise do you love?
The caterwauling of no, I don't know. I don't want these caterwauling.
Page six.
You're caterwauling.
Sound. The stars are just like us.
What sound?
When your kids laughs.
That's, oh, my kids
laugh. Yeah, but they do got great laughs.
Dong.
I've heard them all.
And the sound of a 1978 Harley.
Good answer.
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to pick that out of a lineup. But
you hear them cruising down Sunset. Yeah.
What sound?
Silence?
No, I mean, my wife's got a nice laugh. She's got a deep laugh, and she passed it on to my kids. So their laughs are very...
That's a wonderful answer.
Yeah.
I feel like...
Deep and funny. You know?
I don't want to say it's a deal breaker. My fiance, Amanda, also has a phenomenal laugh. And I feel like I can harken back to some past relationships where I'm like, I don't want to make you laugh. Because you sound
See that? You don't want that. You wouldn't want that.
I'm getting triggered right now.
Yeah. You like that. Good, bad.
Bad trigger.
Bad trigger. Bad trigger.
Okay. Yeah. A great laugh is the right answer. What sound or noise do you hate? What sound or noise do you hate?
What was that? Recently I said that is like... Oh, what the heck was it?
We'll be right back.
I was like, I can't right now. And I think it was someone's voice.
Mm.
And they were...
Was it me, Nick Cage?
No.
Oh.
Because it's the... I can't with like a... A balloon, you know, my kids know that too. They'll mess with a balloon.
Oh,
you know, they'll twist a balloon. And it's sort of like nails on a chalkboard. But
hell
like
yeah,
a,
it is. Squeaky, squawky.
Styrofoam, too.
Who was, I don't know.
Bubble wrap?
Something going on that I couldn't listen anymore.
The sound of an ice cream man being bloodily stabbed.
getting stabbed with
can
blood?
Can you stab without blood? Bloodless Stab.
Great band name.
Yeah.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Attempt?
Yeah.
Housekeeper.
No shit.
Like butler.
No
butler.
Shit.
Butler. I'd be a great butler.
There's your show, dude.
Or a good road manager.
You'd crush
I'd be an amazing road manager.
You're detail oriented, so yeah. You're pretty, yeah. You're organized.
Be so good. I'd be like, dude, wait. I'd be giving people timeouts all day long. I'd be like, wait, whoa,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What do you sit down?
Yeah,
I don't know,
you haven't
but
seen.
I don't know. Yeah. It's tricky because the problem is with good. With good road managers, they end up doing too much.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So to delegate is probably part of the wisdom and the talent of it. But a lot of them do it all and they burn out. Or for someone like me, I don't like when people take too much on, you know, because it's like, well, that's not your job.
Yeah.
And now it's hurting you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're helping out over here, but you're blowing it.
Oof, talk to my mom. What profession would you not like to do? What profession would you not like to do, Joseph?
Parking meter person. That would stink.
Yeah, that would. That's a thankless job. It's like an NBA ref.
You can't.
Nobody likes you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to do that. That would be awesome.
It would. But nobody likes. It's thankless. Yeah. No one's ever going, great call, man. It's always like, fuck you. I'm going to find your family. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever screamed great job ref at a game ever? These guys walk out with their heads between their asses.
But I would love the workout.
Yeah.
I'm calling the shots.
Totally.
Too bad about you.
Yeah.
Couple of jokes here and there.
Yeah. Sorry, LeBron.
You know? Yeah.
No soup for you.
Parking
I'd say fun
meter,
things.
I would be like, every day I'd be like, I didn't do enough. I'm cheating somebody.
Yeah.
I'm either screwing somebody or I'm cheating the city.
It's a lose-lose situation.
It really is.
Last question, Joe. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Wow. Lipton lives, huh? Lipton lives.
Is that what you would say to him? You'd see Lipton in the corner eating at a cafeteria by himself, and you go to God, wow, Lipton lives.
Yes.
And God goes,
there,
oh, yes, James has been here since 2020.
Lipton lives. yep, you're right. What do you want him to say?
What would you like, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Good guys on the right, bad guys on the left.
Great answer.
I have a super quick question. Can I ask?
Go for it, Brian.
Aerosmith, New Kids on the Block, Dropkick Murphys, all in their prime, three-way fight, Anchorman 2 style, who wins?
Oh, Anchorman who, what? Yeah, well, how was the style?
Anchorman 2 style, you know how all the news channels are
fighting? Yeah.
To be clear, this was Lipton's 11th.
Listen, man. You know,
all in your prime.
The Wahlberg name goes a long way.
It does.
So, you know, Danny's a bit of a beast, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Told me to shave my arm hair on a cruise.
Yeah, exactly. And he meant it.
And he meant it. And I laughed and made a joke, and he goes, I'm serious, man. And I go, well, have a great show tonight.
Danny's no joke.
Yeah. He can throw down. No, he can scrap.
Well, you know, he's strong, but he's, you know, he's set in his ways, which can be, you know, challenging sometimes. But like when you're in a dark alley, you want your boys to be set in your ways.
Danny,
you know,
Wood feels like the type of guy to me that says what he's going to do to you before he does it. Where he goes, I'm going to kick you in the shin. I'm going to break your pinky. I'm going to shove it up your own ass. I'm going to bite your lip. I'm going to spit in your mouth, and I'm going to headbutt you and put you in that trash can right over there. That one? No, the one behind it. And action.
Right.
And he does it.
Yeah.
So the answer is New Kids.
I
feel like you'd be scrapped too.
Yeah.
I bet you were.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because Aerosmith's too skinny. You know, the Dropkick Murphys are not skinny, and we're somewhere in the middle.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great answer.
Yeah.
That's been bothering me for about 10 years. So I'm glad you answered that.
Yeah.
Joe, I love you.
Hey,
Joey McIntyre on Instagram and Twitter.
This was I was getting whacked.
You did say that when you came in.
Building, you know.
It's
very set in its ways.
Yeah, it definitely felt like this is the place that, again, if Danny Wood was getting specific with the fight, he's like, I'm going to take you to an undisclosed building.
Right.
I'm going to take you upstairs. You're going to dial two.
I'm going to take the third door on your left. Not that one. I'm going to bang your head off of that door.
There's going to be a shrubbery wall.
I'm going to go across the street.
Get a taco. Okay. Joe, I love you.
I love you too.
I'm so glad you're back.
Congrats.
In LA. Truly. It's just the best. Just to know you're around the corner.
Episode what? Do we know or do you not count?
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, this is so
1,738.
Chevy comes out tomorrow, and that's
1,738.
No, this is, we're in the sixes, baby.
6,000?
I love you for saying that. 600.
Okay.
I ain't Rogan yet. Not with that attitude. Joe, you are,
stop, or are we?
No, keep it going.
Okay.
What episode is this?
Episode 666.
Why? Could you ever get more of a raw piece of feedback? Yeah. He just goes, "You want me to stop?" And I go, "No, keep it going." He goes, "Oh, I just didn't know if you wanted this." Everyone's a fucking comic. He is a comic. Bryce, hilarious. No, I love you. I don't know. We're above six. We're in the 6-20-30 range. We're going Chevy Chase. We're going Joe Mack. We're going Sandy Bullock. That's a run and a half.
But you don't always run them the way you record them, do you?
No, but that feels like a pretty strong run to me.
He said no as a question. That was some ninja.
Save it, save it. We'll do a part two.
No?
He's the talent.
Ask
he doesn't
me a
know
question.
What's going on behind closed doors.
Cool, man.
I love you. Thanks for doing this.
Now we know about last night.
Oh, there it is.